Welcome to the Fuqua Show. For the amazing stories, the passions, and lessons of the Team Fuqua community at Duke University's Fuqua School of Business. I'm Anandi Rahman, your host for today, and today's guest is Louis Wu, a second-year MBA student here in our class of 2024, who is very well known for being a great leader on campus and someone who has inspired me and many others with his daily words and acts of service. Louis, first of all, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited for our listeners to hear your story today.
Thank you so much. Always been, one, a big fan of the show, and two, a major, major honor to kind of cap off my Fuqua career.
So for those of you who don't know Louis, let me give a brief introduction. Louis Wu is a proud New Yorker from Brooklyn. And before business school, he spent about 6.5 years in the education space dedicated to increasing access to educational opportunities for underprivileged students. At Fuqua, he's the true definition of a leader of consequence, as he gives back to his community daily in his roles as the Fuqua Admissions Lead Coordinator and Fellow, the VP of Technology for the MBAA, or Student Association. He's also a career fellow, a co-fellow, and holds multiple other leadership positions across various clubs. Not only is he a stellar student, but outside all of that, Louis is also a proud Jeopardy nerd, a diehard Swiftie, and a huge NBA fan. Louis, in addition to recruiting you for the next trivia night, is there anything else that I missed?
I will note that I am a huge fan of spicy food. I have tried every type of available commercial hot sauce. I tried over like 35 different brands from around the world.
So we should basically have you on that hot wing show.
I think I would do very well. Whatever the last level that the sauce go up to, I'm pretty sure I'll be all right.
Great. We'll buy the ghost pepper sauce next time. So let's dive right in. People often know you for the multiple leadership roles you hold on campus and the lives you've impacted here. But you've been making a difference in others' lives from a very young age. And you have a very unique story of how you've had to constantly reinvent yourself through the different stages of your life, having to constantly balance conflicting passions and goals. When you were just 4 years old, you and your mom left China to pursue the American dream with neither of you speaking a word of English. You pursued a career in education despite your strengths and equal passion for finance. And soon you'll be starting a new career in consulting. All of which you've shared are stepping stones to get you closer to your mission to help increase access to educational opportunities for all students across the country, no matter their zip code. So let's start with your move to America, because I know that shaped a lot of who you are today. What was it like to leave China and start a new beginning in a foreign country where you knew no one nor the language?
I think those are some very formative years of my life. I think my mom, like most immigrant stories, really wanted to envision herself, and more importantly, like me and my brother at the time, like a better future for us. And I think what really stood out when I came over here and immigrated was just the sheer vastness of this country, especially settling in New York. For me, it was just very intimidating because at the time, I was very young, and from what I recall, didn't speak anything, but everyone seemed very intentional about what it is they want to do here. And I knew that in my heart of hearts, this felt like a different energy. And I took a lot of that into what I did at school, applied myself. I think something as it relates to like education for the most part that really stood out to me was when I first started here in public school, I went to PS 130. It's a public school in the heart of Chinatown, Manhattan. The first memory I have in terms of education making an impact on me was my kindergarten teacher. His name is Mr. Fong. He's an Asian American. And he sees that, like, I clearly don't know what he's saying. You know, like, he breaks down Cantonese to me, which is what I speak at home. And he's like, what we can do is start you off with some of these books. And as you can imagine, as like a very young child, I was very nervous, scared, kind of told my mom every night, like, I just want to go back to whatever it was that we were from. I couldn't conceptualize what home meant yet at the time. But I think through and through, Mr. Fong, he never gave up on me. And he consistently pushed my mom to, one, like not take me out of class or the school. So for some more context, like my mom also was not super educated herself. She's a high school dropout. She's been a laborer for most of her life. She still is to this day. And I think she knew that whatever opportunities that might have passed her when she was younger, she did not want that to be applied to me. So I think ever since then, I always had like the full faith and confidence of my teachers. And I just kind of like ran out of it. I fell in love with reading. I think reading was one of the escapes I had when I came to this country. It made a lot of sense to me to get buried in books. So that's a little snippet of why I felt like from a younger age, education and getting like acclimated and assimilated here was fairly straightforward.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of beautiful things that you said there. First of all, to be able to also relate to kind of the immigrant story where, you know, our parents have made a lot of sacrifices and there's a lot that you had to figure out on your own. And I think sometimes teachers are underappreciated. And so the impact that they have, especially at a young age, is very profound. Going back to talking about your passion for education, tell our listeners how you took that passion and wanted to pursue a career in the space.
I will preface by saying that, especially with a lot of my friends here, if you get to know me and then if you speak with me for like a decent amount of time, you know that like I'm very passionate about the space, impact as a whole. But I can see how it might not come off that way because I usually talk about like other things, especially in the context of like us being in business school, about like finance, the markets, all these other financy bro things. But I will say that I think this is something I feel like it's really important to talk about in determining like what it is that you're passionate about, what it is that you set your North Star to, the things that you feel like you can make an impact in, and having that comped against, say, other interests. And for me, I want to finish like college. So I majored in econ and English, I double majored. And it was a very hard choice initially, what it is I wanted to do. And more importantly, how it is it I'm going to like figure out like the rest of my life. And for me, coming from a first gen immigrant family, helping my mom, helping my brother's disabled, breaking those chains of generational poverty. But I weighed that against like things that I cared about a lot, things that I felt like I'll be good at. My first job out was in supply chain logistics, where it was a job that felt normal. It was like a corporate career that I could learn a lot. And maybe perhaps this was something I would like get interested in. Absolutely not true. Did not like the trajectory of how I went. I think it's a fascinating field. But like most people like who were in my position, I needed a paycheck. I needed to make sure that, you know, the things that I told myself when I was much younger in terms of making sure my mom would be okay and making sure that I took care of my brother, those things were addressed. So I wasn't really thinking about how my passions were aligned with like what I was due as a vocation, right? I would say probably like a year and a half in, I had a recruiter reach out to me and dangled this position, a biz ops finance position within a school organization based out of New York. So I wouldn't be working as like a teacher per se, but more so helping support the back end, the financing and running the operations of the program itself. So I thought that was a really cool proposition because I have always felt like education access was something that really enabled me to get as far as I did. And I couldn't really grasp the idea of like, okay, well, if you go into, say, education, am I going to be financially in the same path as some of my friends who are working a high-powered career, something that a lot of immigrants, especially from an East Asian or just an Asian culture, would really much preach. And I think those are like really tough conversations I had in my head. But I also figured if I'm not happy doing something, I probably shouldn't pursue it, even if it meant that I might be giving up something that I thought was really important to me, which is like financial security. But I, like you mentioned earlier, never ever gave up on the markets, finance.
Can you talk about the exact moment when you had to decide between following your passion in education with your interest in finance? And what fears and doubts did you have?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Like I mentioned before, got this outreach from this recruiter at the previous org I was working at before my last organization. So this outreach was very innocent in nature and essentially proposed that if I was looking for, let's say, a change in my life, there was like a role waiting for me in this realm of like education. I responded to the message and I asked, hey, I'm interested. I'm not exactly opposed to like current career shift at the time. I was working in supply chain and logistics, but this recruiter was selling me on things that I've always been thinking about, but haven't really incorporated into like my career at the time. Impact, community, a sense of giving back. And I think that really got my juices flowing and really made me start thinking about that aspect. But at the same time, when you think about like education as a whole, and in terms of like the financial implications of choosing career, most people will tell you that if you go down that route, you're not exactly going to be like chasing the money. It's more so your passion. And I thought about that, right? But I think for that situation and that particular time, I felt almost too complacent in my life. I didn't feel like there were opportunities to wake up and genuinely feel happy. And even if, say, you're working in a career that paid you a lot, right? Like, I think a lot of us here are dealing with that dilemma. Are you going to be happy, right? Like, with that career? And I think at that time, let's say if my salary was like tripled or something, I probably would have felt the same. The need for change was definitely there. Definitely from an intellectual and vocational kind of change, I definitely felt like that was more important to me at the time. So all those factors, and plus just a genuine curiosity to explore more about something I cared about, really kind of like pushed me towards that way initially.
So you talked about having this like genuine curiosity, right, for wanting to make an impact in this field. You felt like your life was a little stagnant. You wanted a fresh change. So all these positive signs. But what are some sacrifices you had to make to pursue this decision?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to touch upon. I think in terms of sacrifices, from, I guess, like a financial perspective, I wasn't making like a ton of money straight out of school. But I felt like if I continued on and stayed through logistics and supply chain, especially at that time, it was a very straight and narrow kind of decision. Like some of my friends who were like accountants, for example, right? You kind of know what your career might be mapped out. And no disrespect to like all of our accountant friends, right? But you know how the next like 5 to 6 years are going to go from both a career journey, compensation, income. And I think I knew like in the back of my head, while the upside wouldn't be there, I figured this was something that one would be extremely safe for me and my family specifically. And I would have a very, I would say, decent standard of living. I wouldn't be needing for food, shelter, which I think like that's kind of crazy to even think about. But I think at the time, it definitely crossed my mind just because growing up, these were things that did occupy and dominated my mom's mind, right? Like keeping the lights on, having a food on the table. Would we need to move again for XYZ? And I knew if I stuck around, I wouldn't need to worry about that. And not saying like, obviously, like, you know, this new kind of pathway into like the world of education would not grant me that security. But I also knew that it would be slightly different. I think as a whole, educators and just the education workforce in this country, they're very underpaid and they're not compensated at levels in which, in terms of the impact they drive. So that was really what dominated my mind, not so much on the upside end, but definitely some more so on like the security end. But like most things in life, like you kind of have to take a plunge. And kind of like I've been mentioning, I'm almost very glad that I did, because then because of that, I was forced to then start thinking about and treating my personal finances as like a second job, right? I extended myself and I applied myself to all these things I was naturally curious at, and more so sought out like help from friends, different people I don't even know, mentors, ton of resources. I just consume books and readings, periodicals, articles. But I think in hindsight, it was a blessing because it gave me the opportunity to, again, not just apply myself through this lens, but also to learn and to pick up a new kind of skill set in many ways, while also still staying true and having something that, from a vocational perspective, right, something that makes you get up in the morning, something that gives you motivation, the drive to go out and be who you are in your workplace with your coworkers, and most importantly, in the work that you do and the impact that you drive. I think that was what I found to be really invigorating. And it turned out so far so good.
That's amazing. I'm glad to hear that was a really rewarding decision that you made. Tell us then, why did you pursue business school at a time when it felt like you were already doing what you love?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. When I was working at Success Academy Charter Schools, which was an organization based out of New York City, they manage a variety of, and a number of charter schools in New York, really high impact work in very under-resourced and underserved communities. My manager, her name's Leah, she was someone I deeply admired and was also doing, in my opinion, really high impact work. She decided to, you know, announce to the team one day, hey, I'm leaving and I'm going to get my MBA, which at the time seemed kind of radical to me just because I'm aligned with how Leah thinks, right? Like she wants to drive impact in the community. I want to drive impact. But she explained why she wanted to go to business school is because she felt that at business school, she can hone in on her skills to not just drive impact, but be a leader and eventually be a thought leader in the spaces that she wants to continue driving impact in, which really then inspired me because now I've seen what her pathway looked like. So she went to business school. She did not go to Fuqua. She went to SOM. After SOM, she was a consultant and she kind of followed what she told us, right? She built out more of those leadership qualities and aspects that she displayed. She also decided to then leave consulting after building out that toolkit. And now she is working at an amazing org that I also deeply admire called Guild Education, which is an edtech startup. What they do is they are in the business of upskilling and workforce development, particularly with populations that have been underserved or ignored historically. They help folks who've been previously incarcerated, essentially employable skills such as data analytics, getting them reincorporated back into the workforce. So amazing company, something that I saw myself really wanting to get involved with in the future, having large scale impact to help others in ways that I think historically a lot of companies have not tried to look at. And from that aspect, for me, I felt like following in Leah's footsteps in business school made a lot of sense. I had a lot of the same interests, and I knew that a program such as Fuqua would be able to do what it can do for me as what an MBA did for Leah and her pathway. So from that lens, I very much, you know, admired what she did and decided to blaze my own path and decided to go to business school.
That's incredible. It's amazing to see how some mentors can really impact our lives and change the course of our own trajectory. So what's the long-term dream?
Long-term dream, I think, let's say 15 years down the line, I want to be in this education space through an edtech lens. I'm very passionate and a big believer in the power of those two in terms of the synergies that it presents, like technology and education. It would be remiss of me to not mention, like, with how AI has been dominating the news and how I feel in 10 years or so, we can see a lot of great changes and advances in applying that aspect of technology to education. And I want to be in that space as a thought leader, someone who's able to harness what I've learned in my career up to that point, apply it to these orgs, and lead an organization where we're taking all this tech and all of these different new and exciting competencies and applying them to help others, be it like K-12 or other types of population that could benefit from all of this good work that will be coming in. So somewhere in that realm, contributing, giving back in high impact way.
Well, I hope this episode reaches as many of your family and friends, because I'm sure they're going to be extremely proud and grateful for everything you've done for them. I see it as a friend of yours and a classmate, which I'm extremely grateful for. You truly care for every single person in this community, not only in the leadership roles that you have, but in very small and big ways that you help your friends out. You have a lot of those traits of Team Fuqua, right? So I'm curious, what does Team Fuqua mean to you? And what do you think has been the legacy you're going to leave behind?
Well, thank you so much, firstly, for those very kind words. At admissions, we ask this like quite a lot to like every applicant. So I've heard and I've been given a ton of like variations of this answer like the last, I don't know, like 6 months or so. That said, my view on what Team Fuqua means to me, it's a little bit different, obviously, outside the lens of like someone who, let's say, wants to get into the school, but rather someone who's been here for a while. When I think of Team Fuqua, I think about all the small things. I think about going to class initially when I first started with my C-lead, Aiden, picking me up in his car, carpooling, and getting to know this redhead Jewish kid from North Carolina that I'd never met who likes basketball. I went to UNC. I think about the first couple of months when I got to know people in my section and just like people from different aspects of all walks of life, going out to like the parties, but more so having these like group dinners, meeting people from every different kind of community here. I think about all of the great work that I've been able to do on these clubs, especially on these cabinets, student government, Steven, Aria, folks who I originally just wanted to work with because I admired and I respected them and what they meant to the community, but also getting to know them as individuals, as friends, people who I now consider close friends. The trips that I've been fortunate and privileged enough to go on throughout with some of my friends, the small ones, the big ones. It's like the small things, those moments in class, I get to speak with my professor during the break, catching up on something that I felt was relevant in news. It's all the little things. That's what Team Fuqua means to me. Just kind of absorbing it all, realizing that it's been an amazing like 18 months or so. There's roughly 5 weeks left. And that I had like the time of my life here. And I would not trade it for literally anything ever in terms of an experience. So that's what it means to me. And I'm deeply appreciative for it.
Well, Lewis, thank you so, so much for sharing all of your stories, your passions, your words of wisdom, and for inspiring all of us to take that leap of faith, believe in yourself, and be comfortable with charting your own path. I wish you the best of luck for a final great term, a memorable graduation, and a new chapter ahead starting this summer.
Thank you. Really, really appreciate it.